Jim. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Everybody swear that the musician to be seated. Amen. How many want to say this morning that he is all you need?
Amen.
I know that we know that in our hearts. Or I guess I could say maybe in our intellect. Maybe I should say it that way. But I want to know him that way in my actions.
Amen.
I want my actions to prove that I trust him and him only.
Yes.
And him for everything that comes my way. And I know that's what we desire in our heart. But God grant us the grace to break through whatever veil it is that's keeping us from actually living that way. And so I know while we're still here in this world, we got the fights of this world that we have to push against and that sort of thing. But God is still God.
That's right.
He's still on the throne. And Brother Branham told us that all he really had to do is that when we would pray, all he'd have to do is just look in our direction and nod. You believe that?
Mm-hmm.
All he'd have to do is just nod.
Right.
And our situation would be over with. But the scripture says he sent his word. He sent his word and healed us, right? He sent his word and did whatever it is that we need to save us and to put our feet on a pathway of stability and all that sort of thing. So may God just allow us and grant us the grace just to connect, plug in to what he has for us so that we can become a people that truly are victorious in this hour. I don't believe for one second that God's people in this hour are going to be a defeated people and go out what we call a dud. When I was a kid growing up, 4th of July rolled around, I'd save my money up for months, you know. I'd do whatever I could, clean Coke bottles out of the ditch of the road and take them down and get whatever it was we were getting a piece for them at the time. We'd do that to get money so we could buy some fireworks. Because my folks wasn't going to buy them. But I'd spend most of my money on firecrackers. Because I could get more fun out of a package of firecrackers than I could anything else. The other stuff cost more. But firecrackers were economical, and I could figure out all kinds of ways to blow things up and that sort of thing. But once in a while, you'd get what we called a dud. It might just kind of spew. And we was very disappointed when one of those come along. But you know what? God don't have duds. He's not a dud, and he don't have people that are duds. So, you know, I think we're going to go out with a bang. When that rapture morning rolls around and God says, okay, it's time, and he looks our way and gives that great nod. Saints, it won't be something I don't believe that we will have to struggle, and I don't even believe we'll have to get through and get down and pray, as it were, pray through in order to make it happen. When that time comes, saints, we'll go, right? We'll go. When he speaks, I don't care if it's a bunch of dead bones in the valley. When he speaks, they come to life.
Amen.
And the same voice that called us and said, don't sin any longer, give your heart to me, he got our attention that way. He can certainly change our bodies with that same voice. So we're looking forward to what he has for us today. Remember, next week, we have a service Saturday night, Sunday morning, and communion service Sunday afternoon. I think we'll probably try to meet back here about 2:30 Sunday afternoon. That gives us time to go and eat. And I hope that we can get through eating at that time. But I think probably most everybody that's going to be hanging around for service probably be eating together anyway. But we'll try to make that work. And so remember that. The brother that's coming, Brother Ben Craven, his father passed away, his dad passed away this last week, and so we want to remember to pray for him, for his family. He texted me and he said, I will still be coming, because my dad would want it to be that way. His dad was a believer, and so he'll be here with us, and we look forward to that. Also, we have a bulletin board back in the vestibule, or the entryway, and so just stop by there as you come and go and see what's on the bulletin board there. There's a little bit of an announcement there about missions. We have a tentative desire, planned meeting, I guess, for Brother Daniel to go to Honduras in January. That's tentative, and you'll see on the bulletin board the announcement about that and what's going on there. And also, before we get into the scriptures, I went down to visit with Brother Perriman just a few minutes ago, and I figured out the way to say what I need to say. He's not feeling well. We'll say that. He's not feeling well today. And he may make it up in a little bit. He may not. But he asks that we pray for him, not just for his physical body strength, but for his situation in his home. You know, he's been a faithful soldier all the years that I've known him. A man of prayer, a man who's walked with the Lord. And, you know, when a man gets older and his physical body begins to fade away and he needs help and he needs somebody to help take care of him, it ought to be that there's someone there that'll do it. And it ought to be that that person would honor that godly walk that that man had. So you read between the lines and you pray that God will help our brother. And so let's open our Bibles now, and we will pray over that in just a moment. But let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Today, saints, it's this way every day, but I'm going to say it today. There's a lot of things in this world. There's a lot of opportunities we have, and there's a lot of things you can have, but they won't just come to you.
Right.
You have to go to them. And there's a lot of things Satan has in this world, and he'll make sure they come to you even if you don't go to them. So we have to determine in our hearts that we're going to seek after God. And so God offers you this morning, as he does every service, but I'm bringing it to your remembrance. God and we brothers in the ministry of this church, we offer you a great and grand opportunity this morning, and that is to worship your Maker,
amen,
your Savior, to worship Him and to give honor to Him and to praise His holy name. It is still a holy name. The Scripture said, let every name... Everyone that nameth the name, just if you even say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, did depart from iniquity.
Right.
That's what the Scripture says.
Amen.
And so, and I just pray that we have a renewed sense of what this relationship is with our King. We have a King, like Brother Daniel said in that party that night. We have a King. We have someone who died for us.
Right.
And you know what? I think He deserves a little bit more than what we give Him.
Amen.
A lot more than what we give Him. And so today, I offer to you, the Lord offers to you, a grand opportunity to take this time that's before us and to worship Him and honor Him in everything.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. I guess if I'm going to read from there, I need to go to that location instead of talking. Amen. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. This may sound like a strange text, but it is Scripture. The Bible says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? We'll begin reading at verse 22. It says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And we go with one more scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, where we read last week. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Let's pray to him. Heavenly Father, we take this time, Lord, that you have given us. We dedicate it to you, Lord, to your word, to your purpose, your program this morning. We surrender ourselves to you as your people. God, as a people that you have bought with a price, and we don't belong to ourselves. We surrender every portion of our being to you this morning, Lord, that you could anoint us, that you could come down and inhabit us, Lord, that you would cause the praises of your people to raise up high. Lord, that you would inhabit the praises of your people. And God, as we hear your word, help us, Lord, to surrender to your word this morning. God, that when you speak, Lord, that it would quicken our hearts, quicken our souls, Lord, and form in us that which we desire, Lord, which we know that you've promised we can have. We ask, Lord, that you would let your mercy come upon this service this morning, Lord, and grant to us the liberty that we need, because your scripture said that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We desire, God, for you to be glorified and know, Lord, that you're the only one that can make this word come alive. So we step aside now this morning and ask that you would help us in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. I have a quote I wanted to read as an opening comment, like we read in the scriptures. It's from Marriage and Divorce. And it's a common quote that we use, that people in the message been around very long know this. And Brother Branham says, he says, then after you recognize the very word of God was eagle food, then you left the other thing, and he was talking about denominations. Then you left the other thing. You've then been formed into the living image of the living God. You've heard from your theophany. And he says, if this earthly body be dissolved, we have one waiting. And so we just ask the Lord to add a blessing to the reading of the scriptures and the quote, that he would take these things and seal it away to our hearts. This morning I'll just title this Leadership. We spoke last week about the watchman on the wall, how we should listen to the watchman. And this week I'm going to speak on leadership also. And you know, I know that maybe we'd say, you know, I don't want to hear a whole lot all the time about leadership, but you know, that's what we come to church for, is to find out what our leadership says, what the Word of God says to us, and that we might surrender to that. And so this morning, I'm just going to talk about, in different ways, about leadership, the kinds of leadership that God puts in our life. And so I just kind of want to talk about that this morning. We find out that I believe, and I trust that most of you do, but I believe that William Branham was a significant Bible ministry that was sent to us. I believe he was a prophet. I believe he was a prophet who was ordained to tie up all the loose ends and to bring that restoration the scripture said would come. That he had the anointing of Elijah upon him to bring that restoration. That he had the anointing upon him, like John the Baptist, to prepare the way for the Lord, so that when his ministry was done, the Lord Jesus could step on the scene. That his ministry was one that was such that as John, and in the scriptures tell, that he would prepare the way for the Lord. They would, go out on the pathway and move everything out of the way so that the king could come to the place that he desired to go. They'd send someone out ahead of time to make way for that, to make the announcement and to prepare the people that they might receive the king, and so that the blessings of the king could come. Because obviously, if he wasn't received well, then the blessings of the king might not come. I believe that's what the ministry of William Branham was sent to do. And that also that ministry was sent that after he did all these things and tied up the loose ends and gave his allotment as the Seventh Church Age messenger, gave that to the Seventh Church Age, that his allotment also was that he would be the first fruits of the rapture process that would come to the entire universal bride, that it would come upon him first, even while he was here, that he would experience things and show things and say things that would show you and I that the time was at hand and that he was actually first fruits of those things that God wants to give you and I. I believe that that's what that ministry was here to do. And so here's this significant appearance of a great ministry God has sent. It's actually God that has done this to such a degree that this little man actually at some point becomes, I don't know how to say it exactly right at the moment, but Christ, he becomes the expression of Christ to you and I, just like you and I are going to be the person of Jesus Christ to this age in bride form. Brother Branham was the first fruits of that. That there was actually a time and a place in his ministry where he, as a son, had come to adoption, and what he said was the same thing as the father saying it. Wasn't? And you have to understand when a child comes to adoption, it's not a situation. Okay, son, you're at adoption now, but you make sure you come and get permission from me before you do something. That's not the way it is.
Right.
When that adoption process of the Bible is completed, that young man comes to adoption. Once that father declares that, then he is the same as the father, and that's just how it is. And so you think about it when Brother Branham was up on the mountain and the storm was there. You know, God could have spoken and stopped that storm. But you know what? His son could too. And his son did. His son spoke. And so it shows you the unity that he was with the father at that point. And so here's this great ministry that has come on the scene, and he's about ready to finish. He's got just a few days, a few weeks left before his ministry here on earth is going to be finished. And put yourself in his shoes, that all the weight of this, what I have just described to you, was on your shoulders. That you knew God had called you, and that the whole world, not just present, but even after you're gone, the whole world is going to be looking upon you and what you said and what your life expressed for years to come. Look at that. And you would say, you know what? I know I'm coming to the end of my ministry. I think that we would be just like Brother Brandon was. I think that we would carefully and prayerfully be seeking God for what our next step would be and what our next sermon would be and how this thing would end. And we understand that just like Jesus Christ, because Christ was displaying himself through the ministry of William Branham, just like Jesus 2,000 years ago, the last thing he did before he went to Calvary was he had communion. Had communion with his, and the last sermon that Brother Branham preached was communion. And so those are little types and things like that. But what I want to point out here, take me 5 minutes to get to one thing I wanted to say, and that's this. That when Brother Branham come right down to it, and we know the last sermon was going to have to be communion because he was a type of Christ, the very next sermon prior to that, what was it? Leadership. I think God's trying to tell us something.
Amen.
I think that as Moses had rehearsed, had brought the children of Israel out and all the things that happened, and Moses was getting ready to leave, and he went back and he rehearsed everything that had been given to them of God, and he come to all that, and he said, now, everything that has happened, don't you add to it and don't you take away from it. In other words, use that as your leadership and follow that. And so I think that when he come down and he preached leadership, I think he was trying to tell us that if there's one thing that we need to have place in our life and have it there right, that is to surrender to the different channels, to the leadership of God in our life. And we know Ultimately, it's the Word of God, because it all ties back to that anyway. Anything that God has established as truth for you to live off of, that's what we're talking about. And so, Brother Branham, in the message of leadership, he spoke to us about the rich young ruler. We won't go into a lot of details of that, but just to kind of rehearse on just briefly, he was a religious man. He was well taught. He was well off financially. And he'd been raised right. But he came to Jesus and asked him, "What must I do that I could have eternal life?" And the way Brother Random put it like this, and I agree with him, was this man, even though he was raised right and he did all the things, he had kept all the commandments from his youth, which means he had honored his father and honored his mother and he had done all these things. He was perfectly in line according to the Old Testament, right? So he had done all that, but he knew, Brother Random said, he knew that he didn't have eternal life.
Right.
With all that, something down inside him, he knew he didn't have eternal life, and that's why he came. And he came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Well, Jesus said, "Well, you know," and he said, "Go do this, that." And he said, "Well, I've done all that." And something else that Brother Branham tells us is that when the word comes, it will correct the error.
That's right.
So here's this rich young ruler who had a magnificent appearance and a magnificent portions of his life that looked pretty good, but yet he didn't have the thing that he needed, eternal life. And so he comes to the Word. Well, do you expect the Word to pat him on the back and say nothing's wrong? No, the Word is going to identify and correct the error of his life if there's error there to be corrected. And so we should always remember that. We come to church and we say, you know, we want to come, we want to hear the Word. But the bottom line is that if I am out of line with the Scriptures, if there is error in my life, I want the Word of God to speak to me.
Amen.
I want Him to say, you might have done this right and this is correct and this is correct and this is correct in your life. But the one thing that's missing, the one thing that's missing in my life, guess what? That's going to be my problem.
Amen. That's right.
Because it's easy to do a lot of things. It's easy to serve the Lord in a lot of ways. But every one of us has got one way,
yes,
at least one way, that Satan has a punch coming at us. There's one way in particular. And guess what? That's our problem. But that's not what we are going to project.
Right.
So when we come to encounter the Word like the rich young ruler did, we come to encounter the Word. Guess what's going to happen? He's not going to come and say, "You do a good job here, and you do a good job here, and you're wonderful over here." If it's the Word, who's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And listen, saints, I know I'm a man. And you know what? If anybody, I don't care if it's Donnie Reagan, Jeff Jenkins, Ed Biscoe, if anybody stands behind this and preaches to you, there's flesh.
That's right.
But we've got to go beyond the veil of the flesh and realize that Almighty God comes and speaks to us, and He is the Word, and He is a discerner, and He will go into our life, and He will discern, and He will touch the thing that we don't necessarily want to bring to the surface. But He does it, because that's the way He works. And so, here's this rich young ruler, and he was all of those things, but he had one thing missing, and that's the thing that was a problem for him. And Jesus went right straight to that. And of course, we know the rest of the story. That he went away sorrowful because the thing he had that he was holding on to was his money. Was his desire to hang on to those riches he had in monetary amount. And so he went away very sorrowful because he had much and he didn't want to give it up. Think about that. And so this sermon is not about money this morning. You know, there'll be some comments I make along the way that probably sounds like, but that's not what it is. It's about leadership. And so Brother Branham comes down to the end of his ministry, and leadership is something that seems to be pretty important. Because I would think, if the last sermon, I would think, you know, of course, you might say, well, maybe Brother Branham didn't know. Well, I think if you listen to your messages, you'll know he knew his time was coming. And so, just like I pointed out to a few brothers in the last week or so, maybe a week or so, maybe Brother David Simcoe and different ones. We know Brother Lonnie Jenkins just passed away, and he was he'd been sick. And I told the brothers, I said, if you'll notice, I said, I think the Lord's going to take our brother. Because if you'll notice, the last sermon that Lonnie Jenkins preached, he tied up the loose ends to a Revelation series. Now listen, what Jesus Christ is, and he likes to come down and live it in people. And he came down and expressed himself on William Branham to such a degree that the last service William Branham had was communion. Christ doing it over again. And so the last service that Brother Lonnie did, he did a home service series in Revelation, the Revelation series. And the last service he preached was tying up the loose ends of that, and the one prior to that was communion. So I said, you know, I think the Lord is speaking. Because God comes down and lives in the lives of people, especially the people that he's brought in a theater where a lot of people's looking at him, a lot of bride people looking at a ministry, then God's going to live out some stuff in that to get some things said and done. And so, Brother Branham, I think we could say that it was very important to him. Of all the things he could have preached about, he preached leadership. And he showed us how easy it is for us to be so obedient in so many ways and yet not be obedient in one way. And that be our problem. And that really be our hang up. And try to let us know that we can't ignore that one hang up because it will be a problem. And so that's why I think that Brother Ram was saying, you've seen all that the Lord has done throughout the ministry, and you've seen the opening of the seals, and you've seen the discernment, and we brought it right down to this. Don't add to and don't take away, but make sure you follow that leadership. You follow what God has put before you, what has been laid out in the Word, and make sure you don't miss that one thing. Don't miss following after the leadership that God sends. And so, let's just imagine a world, just for a moment, a world where everybody, every person and everything is in harmony, in unity. So that when we get up in the morning and we're going to work, that everything that we encounter throughout the day, we have the right understanding. We see a circumstance arise before us and we look at it and the thoughts that we have about that circumstance are correct. Not a wrong thought. A correct thought that we understand we have the mind of God on it. And let's imagine a world like that. We see every circumstance for what it is. For what it is eternally, what it means, what's going on, if it's a battle, if it's whatever. We understand it and we have the right attitude toward it and we engage that circumstance correctly like Christ would. And so that you're on your way to work and somebody pulls out in front of you and you have to slam on your brakes, that you automatically, there's a nature in you that's you. And you see what's wrong there and you find it, you know why that person pulled out on you, what was wrong, and you enter into their need and you have no animosity, you have no bad feelings toward them, you pray for them. You understand what I'm saying? Right. Let's think of a world like that that's a perfect world where everything engages just right. We all come to church and everybody's in the mind of the Lord and we all come in and we just mesh together and there's no bumping into one another and no out of syncness. Every song is just as smooth and everybody's got the right approach and they understand it and they see it for what it is because they're looking through the mind of God.
Right.
Be a wonderful place, isn't it? It'd be a wonderful world to live in. It'd be a world where everything is in unity. It's like the human body. We have all kinds of parts inside our body. And I will tell you, now I'm not talking about a sick body, but I'm talking about just the way the Lord made us. And even in our natural form, every member of our body works in unity with all the other members.
Right.
And every member serves. Each member of the body, they are not the identity of the body. My hands, my feet, my liver, my heart, they're not the identity of this body. That's not the purpose of this body. The purpose of all those members are to work together to express the identity, but they themselves are not that identity. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, when we walk up and we greet someone, we don't say, what wonderful feet you have, or what a beautiful knuckle that you have on your left hand. We don't look at it that way, see? But it's all part of it.
That's right.
I know that sounds crazy, but just to understand what I'm getting at. But every my heart, I'll just do it this way, in your heart, since the day it started beating, it has served that body, that every other member of the body, it has served that tirelessly,
right,
without regret, without animosity, without being angry because it has to bear that burden. That's a reality to us. We can understand that. Our bodies are made that way. My liver has always been my liver. And my heart has no desire to be something different.
Right.
And it's not aggravated because it has to do that. You understand what I'm saying? So every member of our body, it has their position and they're happy to be there. And you say, well, that's because your liver doesn't have a brain. And your heart doesn't have a brain or something. You could say that. Or your feet doesn't have a brain. So they don't know to be aggravated because they have to be the foot all the time. But I'll tell you that there's intelligence in there. In every member. It's just like a machine with all the gears that work. And maybe it's like we had these big dough mixers that they mix dough in for big bakeries. And there's quite a lot of stuff that goes into that. And they have these gears and they have this funny shaped hook that kind of spins around in there. And every little bit it contacts close to the edge of the bowl. And if there's dough there, it has to cut through that. And so the load, it sees this huge spike in load that it has to overcome every time that hook comes around and hits and cuts through that dough. Well, inside there's gears. And there's certain gears in there that when it comes time to pinch that dough, there's certain gears that fall upon. Their responsibility. Well, you know, a gear is the teeth go all the way around it. So there's teeth all around it. But certain gears are the ones in some machines, they're the ones that always have to take the brunt of that load while all the rest of the gears never have to do that.
Right.
Well, you know, that one gear, he could say, you know what, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being the one that always has to take the brunt of the load of this situation. Why can't some of these others, they look just like me, they look like they're just as strong as I am, why don't they do it? But he does it.
Right.
He tirelessly, without complaint, serves in the capacity that his Creator made him to work in. And over years and years, you can look at those few gears that do that work and you'll see it wears and tears on them in a way it doesn't on the rest.
Right.
But he never complains. Do you understand what I'm saying? In this great world that we were talking about, where everybody's got the right mindset, we have the mind in Christ, if you want to say it that way, to serve tirelessly, without complaint, to find our position, and to serve God with no complaints. And I'll tell you that in a world like that, everything is in unity, and the identity of that body will be very clearly and perfectly expressed, because the members themselves are in unity. And so, I will tell you that each of those parts do that. And you say, well, they don't have brains or whatever, but they have intelligence. They have, and I don't mean they are intelligent, but there is intelligence in them. Let me explain what I'm talking about. Brother Branham said that God has a provided way for everything. Everything. He has a provided way for us to come to the house of God.
Right.
He has a provided way for us to conduct our lives through the week. He has a provided way for us to handle our finances, for us to raise our children. He has a provided way for us to provide for our families. And we could go on and on. But you understand, God has a provided way for everything. And I believe that in this perfect world we're talking about, that if it was to be that way, that would mean that all those members would be operating in God's provided way for whatever they are. And so Brother Bram said, God has a provided way. And he gave an example. He said, when you had your little baby, he said, now you go in there and you say, Junior, here's a little bell here on the side of your crib. And when you get to needing something, you just reach over and ring that bell and Mommy will come running. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Brother Branham said, God's got a provided way. That baby knows to cry. To cry out to his parents when he needs something. That baby has intelligence. That baby, I'm not saying that baby's sitting there in his, or laying there in his little crib and thinking, okay, you know, with a thought process, but let's just use the word instinct like we would for animals. That baby is born with an intelligence in there somewhere that made it such that it knows that when I need something, cry out for it. And so because the little bell wouldn't work. Not little button that you push and it would buzz some buzzer in the other parts of the house. That wouldn't work. And so what I want you to see here is that God's provided way for that baby is something that there was an intelligent one that made that decision and created that baby, put it in that baby, and that baby now possesses a character about it and an understanding somehow to know in the mind of God that when I need something, I just cry out to God for it. And so that nothing else would work any better. Nothing that man could come up with would work better. So that baby packs something that's got some intelligence to it that's beyond what man could ever produce. And it's called God's provided way. And so you understand. So when that gear is always working and it comes around and it has to take the brunt of the load, that gear has the mind of God. The mind of its creator. And therefore, because it has that mind, it knows that I'm made thus. And when it comes around and it's time for me to take the brunt of the load, I take that brunt of that load because that's who I am. And I don't complain because that's who I am.
Right.
So you understand what I'm saying? These parts of our body or these parts of a machine or this baby, they have God's mind on the matter. And so no matter what they encounter, they are just exactly what God made them to be, and it's tirelessly that way. That baby doesn't get tired of crying out to mom and dad whenever it needs something. It's easy for it to do that. When your body is ready for you to eat, does your stomach get tired of notifying you that it's hungry? No. You see what I'm saying? God's got a kingdom out here.
Right.
God has an economy where that's the way it is. And that's the way He wants us to be. That's where we're headed.
Right.
And so you understand that these things, when I say there's intelligence in there, I'm talking about the wisdom of the King or the Creator that placed them such. That's the way they are. So there is a world like what I'm talking about. And I'm just going to refer to it as the kingdom of heaven right now. But saints, you and I are subjects of that kingdom. We belong in that kingdom. We are called to that. Actually, we are that kingdom. And it starts, you know, because the scriptures tell us the kingdom of God is within you. But God's children, He's got people that are predestinated in this world that have in them the gene of God that's ordained to become the fullness and the expression of this kingdom I'm talking about. This world where everything is in harmony. We have that. And we you know, you say, well, we're not like that right now. I know that. I know that we're not like that right now. And I know that we're not all walking in unity. But God has it for us. Because listen, saints, you and I, what we see and what we've, our failures and the struggles we have, that's not really us. What we really are is that gene. What we really are is that kingdom I'm talking about that is perfect, that is where we're headed, though we're not here, we're not there now, but in us is something that belongs to that kingdom is there, and it has to grow into the earth and take over at some point. Brother Branham did say that, and the scriptures point this out, that we'll take over at some point, take this world over. But we are that kingdom, and you say, we're not like that now. I know that. And that's why God sent you leadership. That's why God sent leadership in your life, because you're not there. You have the ability down within you. You have the gene down in you to become that. But it takes a process of taking the intelligence of the one who has called you and putting that in you. It's like the clay, that lump of clay sitting there on the wheel. That clay, I believe it has the ability to be a bowl or a plate or a cup, but it's just a glob sitting there. It has the qualities in it that's able to be those things, but it lacks one thing. Intelligence being ministered into it that it might be thus. Right? It has it. But the route for it to become that glorious plate or a water bottle that you could carry water in or a bucket, you know, like we heard the other night to beat down a bunch of the enemy with. He didn't actually say that, but I kind of think that he swung the bucket too. But anyway, in order for that clay to be that, it has all the attributes, the ability there, but the only way it'll ever be that is if there is a hand of a potter who comes and overcomes that clay's normal tendency to lay there in whatever form and condition it's in. But for that potter to come and get involved and begin to put pressure and change the life of that clay.
Right.
And when that life of that clay gets changed, well, I think if you could ask the clay, he'd probably grumble about it for a while or something like that. Because he has his own way of doing things. He has his own way of laying there. And yet the glory cannot come out of him until a higher intelligence comes upon him, molds him and makes him. And then that quality that was laying there just in, without form and void, that quality now comes out.
Right.
But what brought it out? The leadership of that hand to guide it and shape it into what it can be under the intelligence of that guiding hand. You understand what I'm saying? And so God wants us to be that. But the only way we'll ever get there is for God to shape us and mold us by His Word, by the avenues of leadership that He puts in your life. And I said earlier, it all goes back to the Word of God. And so that's why he puts leadership in our life. So when we see that we don't quite live up to what we should, when we see on day-to-day basis that we miss the mark, we go at it from, and say, today I want to handle everything just exactly the way Christ would, and before too long you've already messed up. And so we have a desire to do that, but day after day we fall short, and the point I'm getting at is that we see we're not in this perfect condition yet. And when we see that, when we see the enemy coming in and causing us to drift, when we see the enemy come in and causing our children to drift, or our church to drift, when we see that happening, why do we tarry? Why do we not become very much active, right on the spot to get involved? And so, that's one of the problems of Laodicea, because they are religious, but, you know, they just not on fire type of thing. And that's the kind of thing that you and I have to fight against. And so, you know, when we see that those things aren't right, we should be desperate with God. We should go to God and say, Lord, I see that you have this force. I don't see it happening completely in my life the way I want. And to get desperate and to lay before Him. When you see your children drifting, don't wait. When we see that something's not real, exactly the way God's Word says it to be, why wait? Don't do that. Don't wait. Get involved. Get active and cry out to God and say, God, you have a provided way. You have a way to put me where I need to be. And so that's what we want to do. You know, we don't choose our own leadership. When you were born as a child, you didn't choose your parents. When you went and you took a job, you didn't choose who was going to be your boss. And when you found out you was a sinner, you didn't choose your Savior. Now, I know that sounds, you can say, well, I did too. I said, I'll accept Jesus. Jesus was the Savior, and you made a choice whether to accept Him or not. You received a boss when you took a job, and you make a choice whether or not you'll follow Him or not. You were born into this world with parents, and you make a choice at some point whether or not you will listen to those parents or not. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
God has provided you leadership, A wife marries a husband, he's the leader of the home. And in that case, you might have said, I'll accept him. But that channel, that route of leadership, that's what is there for her, and she has to make a choice whether or not she will follow that leadership or not. And so I know for there's probably sisters out here in the world, their husbands don't serve God. And so, you know, that you'd say, well, what about them? And that sort of thing. We know there's scriptures that address that. And so all I can say is that men better live in a way that their wives could honor them. But if they do, the wives need to honor them and follow after what their leadership is. And if you feel like they're making a wrong choice, you can pray. You can talk to God. He'll work. We're not undone. God still hears prayer. And so we don't choose. As a matter of fact, we typically, in our own human nature, we typically don't say, I need leadership. We typically have the idea, I'll take care of this. I'll figure this out. I know how to do this. We typically do not take the route where we say, you know what? I'm confronted with circumstances. I'm going to go find out from somebody that's smarter than me, if it's been around longer than me. I'll go find out what they say about it. We typically don't do that. It's in our fallen nature just to go off in a direction and not go to those channels of leadership in our life. That's part of the fall. And so that's the way the situation is with us. We don't choose our own leadership, but God sends it. God gave you parents. And I say this to the children, but we're all children of somebody. God gave us parents. And those parents are the way God processed us into this world. And God made those parents responsible for us, made us as parents responsible for our children, made us responsible, and no matter, in its own way, no matter how smart a child gets, the parent will always have a wisdom above them because they're the parent. They'll always have, if we have the right attitude in our lives, no matter how old we get, we should be able, if we have the right attitude, we should be able to say, you know what? I believe I could go talk to my mom and dad. They could help me out on something. If you don't feel that way, you're in the wrong channel. You say, well, my parents aren't godly people. Even ungodly parents, if they love you, they'll always, because they have that position as parents. There's always, and that's what I'm trying to point out here, is that God has channels. God has channels that He establishes for you, not just the Word of God, but the Word of God establishes channels for you, for leadership in your life, and those channels are there to provide you protection and benefits from you that you cannot provide yourself. And God put it there. But you have to make a choice whether or not you follow those channels of leadership. And so we see that's what the rich young ruler did. He was presented with, here's the channel. Here's what your leadership is telling you. And a prophet's the one that labeled that message leadership. But when he saw that story, he called it leadership. Here's your channel of leadership. Follow that. And he didn't follow that. And you see what happened to him. And so, you do have to make the choice of whether or not you follow those channels of leadership. And if you don't, well, then that's a different pathway that you go, and we could talk a little bit about that, maybe. If you remember back, some of you in the marriage enrichment seminar, we talked about we are a product of our genetics and our experiences. We come into this world physically, and in our physical flesh, we have certain characteristics and certain natures about us that we got physically through the genetics from our parents. And some of those genetics will cause us, maybe some people, to be real easy to be a little more hot-headed or to act unreasonable. And maybe some have the ability to stop and think things through. And those are things that happens that's part of genetics. But then you take that genetics that's in that child and they have the ability to be thus and thus, and then you couple that with experiences they have along through life. And that's what makes them and the character they are when they get older. So you see someone that acts a certain way, well, it's a product of maybe what he has suffered or dealt with throughout life, plus what his genetics are. And I know in the kingdom of God, there's a way You know, that God will save you from your genetics so that if you have characteristics about you, He can help you with that. But I'm just showing you from the standpoint, we are a product of our genetics, and then what comes into our experience. You take two children, exactly the same genes, put one in a home where they're loved and appreciated and taken care of, and put the other one in a home where they're abused, they're going to come out different. So you see what I'm saying. Well, it's the same spiritually. A believer, what we are today, right now, today, is a combination of who we are genetic, is God our Father, and then the experiences that have been ministered or that we have experienced along the way makes us who we are. And so, regardless of what the gene is, if you put the wrong experiences upon the right gene, it still will come out a little bit wrong. You understand what I'm saying? So we can't just say, well, I'm a son of God. Don't worry about anything else. I'll just do whatever because I'm a son of God. Well, if you do that, your experiences are going to mold you and make you into something that you don't want to be. And so we are a combination of those things, of genetics and experiences. And so if you come into this world as a child of God, but there is no leadership over your life, you have no leadership to control your experiences, what's going to happen? You need leadership to control your experiences because it affects how you come out.
That's right.
Even if you're a child of God, you could be like, I forget the man's name, who decided he wasn't going to serve the Lord anymore. Brother Branham went and talked to him. Brother Neville went and talked to him. And finally, God took the man home. And Brother Branham said, God took his servant home, but he was a disobedient servant, and his time was cut short because he wasn't obedient. He's still a son, but circumstances in his life weren't exactly right, and he couldn't be brought back. God sent servants to him. God sent people to him, and he wouldn't listen, so God took him. So you see what I'm saying? His genetics plus the environment took him in a direction that wasn't exactly right. It's not his genetics, but his environment did. Because we'll take Brother Branham at his word to say that he was a child of God. So there wasn't anything wrong with the genetics, but his obedience to the leadership that God put in his life, especially when God sent people to him and he wouldn't hear it, then God had to get involved. And so we come into this world, we have to have leadership in our life to control our experiences. And if we don't, this is why God gave children parents. Because if that child comes in the world and they have nobody to control their experiences, they will be at the receiving end of whatever Satan wants to give them.
That's right.
So that's why. So after all, then, that channel of leadership of parents is there for that child's protection. And it's there for the molding and making and perfecting of that child. Not through changing of genetics, you won't change that, but through a intelligent control of the experiences that thou child has through their life. That parent will make that child come out right. They'll teach them the right things. They'll train them up the right way. All those things will happen. Well, guess what? We live in Satan's Eden where everything's designed to undermine the parents' leadership. Everything's designed to undermine the leadership of the Word of God. But what I want you to see here is that in order for us to come out right, in order for us to come into that kingdom where everything is the way it should be, that has to be ministered to us. We'll lay there like a lump of clay, and that's what we'll be until some higher power of leadership dictates upon our life the experiences we have along the way to make us come out as a vessel honorable to God. Without those channels of leadership, we're a lump of clay. Yeah, we have the attributes, but we'll never shine in the glory of God. We'll never fit in that kingdom where everything meshes together. We'll never come to church and be just exactly right. We won't deal with situations when we come into hardships throughout the day. We won't do all that if we don't ever let leadership minister into us the intelligence that makes us what we are. So God takes that attribute that's in us, and he moves upon that, and by circumstances of life, through the channels of leadership, he controls
what we are experienced. If a parent does not watch their children and they let their child run down the street and go to whoever's house it was, I used the name last, Joe or whatever, last week. These sisters are funny because I just said that once or twice and they remembered it. But if you don't and you let him go down there, you know what? Anything's possible because Satan's going to make sure. He won't come out the way you want him to. Because parents are shirking their responsibility. They're not standing up to the responsibility when they don't watch after their children. I keep going on that because it's something we can easily understand. But I'm saying the same thing. Those in leadership have a responsibility to make sure they minister into those that they're leadership over. They have a responsibility to tell them the truth.
Amen.
And then those who are listening to that leadership, they have a choice to make. Well, do I recognize this as a God-provided channel for me to control my experiences as I grow, to control and affect me on what I'm exposed to in this world so that I might come out balanced at the end? Right? That's what it's all about. And so, ultimately, the Word of God is here to do that for us. And it comes through the channels of your parents. It comes through the channels of your ministry. It comes through the channel of the prophet's voice and many other ways. It actually comes through the channel of experiences you have. I heard Lonnie use this example one time, and it's right. He said, this guy says, you know, my boss, he's got a bad attitude. He's always against me. Lonnie said, no, it's you. And that's right, it's you. You might say, I had some experiences with a bad boss, and when God got done with it, it changed. And so Lonnie was saying, no, it's you. God has control, and if God wants and sees that you are in a place where you don't need that boss that's got a bad attitude toward you anymore, he'll get you a different boss. But God has put you in places where you are on the receiving end, and sometimes it's even a man that's not even a Christian. But it's still the hand of God because God controls every aspect of our lives to mold us and to make us, and when we sit in a place where we need something that God has to correct us with, he'll use the hand of the heathen to do it with, as he has in the Bible many times. Until we finally get, and then he can lift the hand of that heathen and say, okay, there's my child. And that's what God does. And so, for us to come out where we want to be, we have to have that intervention of leadership. Because we're not going to get there ourselves. We're not going to get there by ourselves at all. And so we can see that leadership is always for our protection and for our benefit. Now, rejecting leadership brings that disaster. The scriptures we read, it said the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You find out that Saul was anointed to be king, and God was giving him directions on how to lead and be king, and he didn't hear it. He wouldn't listen to it. He kept deviating from what God told him to do. And so when God finally said, okay, enough is enough, then we come to the place where the scriptures read, and Samuel the prophet, the word, spoke to him and said what we read there and told him. He said that your rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And so he said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. So the point I want to point out there is that God loves us, and he'll help us. Your parents love you, and he'll help you. The ministry that you sat underneath, they love you, and they will help you. They will. But I want to ask you the question. Is it better to obey than to sacrifice? It is. Because sure, if we go out and sin tomorrow, sure, that sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary, he suffered for that sin that we commit. Sure he did. And that sacrifice will cover it if it has to. But it'd be much better for us to be obedient than for us to have to go back to that suffering on Calvary. You see what I'm saying? You can look at it different ways, but that's the channel I want you to see. Children, yeah, your parents will love you. They will do their best to draw you out of the mud. When the preacher preaches truth and you go out and you don't listen to it, he'll help you. He'll run to your rescue. Surely he will. He will sacrifice. Your parents will sacrifice for you. They'll do it. And they'll do it tirelessly. But wouldn't it be better if we'd take the word of God and obey it?
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? God will help us. But my goodness, saints, at some point we've got to reach that place where everything's right. And that only comes from submitting to that leadership, the presence of the Word in our lives. And so that's what the Scripture said there, that obedience would be better than sacrifice. And you know, we find out in the Scriptures, God doesn't like rebellion. We read in there in Deuteronomy chapter 21 that the parents, that a mom and dad would speak to their child and they would actually correct their child. They would chastise him. And if through all that process of correcting and chastising, he just won't come to it, then they had to bring him out before the gate, before the elders of the city, and they'd make this confession, this our son, he just won't line up, and they would stone him, and the Scripture said so that Israel would hear, and they would fear. And so, why couldn't the parents just let him go? Why couldn't the parent, now the leadership, responsible for that child, why couldn't they not just say, well, he just won't listen, his life will come to a short end someday, and you know, we'll just let it go? But why couldn't it be that way? Why couldn't it? Because the Scripture let us know that's not the way it was to be. That if after they had corrected and he wouldn't listen, then you have to take a desperate measure. And so, why couldn't it just be that way? Because God said so. And so, because there's something for us to see here. Well, upon what basis would this child be destroyed? And it did not say that the child would be, the parents would come and say, well, you know, he did something wrong. We got to do away with it. It's not that at all. It said that after the parents had corrected and they had worked with that child and chastised and they had went through this process, that then at that point, if the child couldn't come in, then it would have to be. And so upon what basis would this child be? Because the parents loved that child, if it's the right kind of parents, and I think we could say they would, that in God's economy, and realize, I'm not trying to say this is the way it should be today, but I'm trying to show you that in God's economy, there's leadership to be followed. And there is protection for your life. And the Scripture is the first commandment we promise is to obey your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the earth. And you can talk about that in many different ways. But those parents love that child. And upon what basis would that child be destroyed? It would mean that God's judgment upon the situation was even stronger and more overcoming than the love for those parents had for that child. That in God's economy, it was more detrimental to what he was trying to establish. That you have someone here that just simply can't listen to leadership. That's what I'm trying to show you there. That here's a parent that loved their child, but they were commanded of God to say, you know what? They just can't come in line. That God said it's important that we don't let that ride. That we don't let that just continue on. That irreverence to leadership. That lack of surrendering to the leadership of their life. We don't let that continue on. We must deal with that. And so God, that's why God put the judgment upon there. And it was to, well, don't let it spread for one thing. But you'll find out that just goes to show you how serious God was about following leadership. That was back in the Old Testament. Well, where the Scriptures tell us that people could die under the law of Moses without mercy. So I'm not trying to tell you that's the way it is today, but the concept and the crucialness of following leadership is still the same today in our lives. Whatever channel it is, it's still just as important today to follow the leadership in our lives. And if we don't, consequences fall. Absolutely. And so, Everything is for our benefit and for our protection. Even, I'll say it this way, even if we don't understand. How many times do you parents have to correct your children and teach them and you try to explain it and they just couldn't understand because they were a child? But you knew that at some point in their life they would understand. And it's the same way. There's some times that we have to just do things that God wants us to do and that we come to, that even if we don't understand it, He still says, you've got to come this route. And so even if we don't understand. Now, saints, I trust that when you come here that you expect a ministry here. You expect me and Brother Daniel to tell you the truth. I expect that you would actually say, well, you know, that if you knew we wouldn't, that if you knew we were holding back, I would think that you would have a problem with that, and you should. But I expect that you would want us to tell you the truth, so I want to tell you the truth. And I want to tell you the truth right straight from the Bible, right straight from the message, not just pet quotes, but continuity of God's program in our life. And so that's what we want to do. And I'll tell you the truth. I've always tried to do that. And I've always tried in everything that I felt that God would let me say to you or to anybody I've ever preached to in all my years of preaching, I've always declared the whole counsel that God gave me on the matter to give. I've never held back unless there was something where I felt like if I said it, it would cause a, and that there would be a chance, an opportunity for me to say it in a different way, and the Lord would just allow me at that time to say it, I would. If I don't feel His liberty, I won't. But I don't hold nothing back. I'll tell you the truth as best I can see it. And so I'm going to tell you the truth. Okay? And the truth is that every sermon that has been preached in this church since we started on July the 22nd, has been a sermon that will create a good foundation for this church.
Right.
Okay. That if we can catch the inspiration of what's being said, and we let that come into our lives, and let that leadership of those sermons, we catch it and we fall into that, you'll find out that through that, it'll be a foundation that God can build upon.
Yeah.
And you'll find that God is a great builder, and He will not build on a foundation that's not going to hold. Right? I remember back when I was building my house, I spent a lot of time just on the foundation. A lot of time. And I found myself, you know, at times saying, you know, man, why can't we start putting up walls? But it wasn't time.
Right.
And if the work's not done up front to lay that foundation, forget it. Might as well just let it set, because it's just a waste of time and materials to build upon a foundation that will crumble later.
That's right.
So you see what I'm saying? If there's one area, one thing about the house that's got to be right, it needs to be a foundation. And that's the way it is with our experiences. If we're going to appear over there as judges and to stand, then we better have a good foundation when we get there. And that's what we're here for now, is to, for the leadership of God to get into our lives the way it needs to be. And God has things, a lot of things that He'll ask us that we don't understand. We won't understand a lot of stuff at this particular time, but maybe we do later on at some point. But then that's part of it. If the child always understood the mind of the parents when the parents brought leadership upon that child's life and made changes, if the child had the mind of the parent, it wouldn't be a problem. Right? But most of the time the child doesn't have it. And so it's a surrender for the child, and it's also a tightening up for the responsibilities of the parents to make sure and give that to that child properly. So you see what I'm saying? So most of the time there isn't a clear understanding as of yet, but it comes after obedience. Just like that light and stepping into it. When you take a step into what you can see, God will give you more. And that's the way it is. Brother Rev said the Pentecostals, they want to be have great spiritual gifts, but they hadn't even learned the ABCs yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we want to learn our ABCs. We want that foundation of our lives to be right. We want the foundation of the church to be right. And so there's things that we might not understand about it. And so I want to speak of one thing here that comes to mind that I know that I have said that we need to talk about, and that's tithing.
Right.
And so I'm gonna share these things, and I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth as it comes from Scripture. Why would God need tithing? Why does God need tithes and offering? The Scripture says that if you don't pay your tithes and offering, then you're robbing God. Why does He need it? Does God need tithes? He's the creator of heaven and earth. He owns all things. If God wanted to speak and we would have a church the size of whatever, with everything furnished, He could do it. But He don't do it that way. You see what I'm saying? Does He need it? God doesn't need tithes in Himself. He doesn't need offerings in Himself. But God has a program that He created that says there's tithes and there's offerings that must be done. So if you go into the Scripture, you find out the tithing, it was first instituted with Abraham when he met Melchizedek. And the Scripture says that Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God, and he met Abraham after Abraham had went and fought the kings that had taken his nephew Lot. And so it said he was a priest of the Most High God, but we understand, and in Revelation, the Scripture said that he was without father, Melchizedek, without father, without mother, had no descent, had no beginning of days or ending of life. Well, you know, there's only one that could be, and that's God. It was God in a form before He became the form He was of Jesus Christ on Calvary. And the Scripture said that God, you have to realize, God is saving man, and He wants, He was the author of a priesthood between Him and His people, who He's redeeming. God said, I'm going to redeem them, and I choose a system wherein I have a mediator between me and them, or I have someone that I call a priest or a ministry between us and them. And so here God is, and He's giving a covenant to Abraham that surpasses the law. It was 400 years before the law came, and it was going to be the same covenant that was established under Jesus Christ, but He come back here, way back there, and He established it first with Abraham, and with that, He said, okay, I'm going to establish what my true covenant will be after the law's done and all that. I'm going to establish that now with Abraham, and that is going to require a priest. And so I'm going to go down and I'm going to form myself into a body that's going to be known as Melchizedek. And I'm going to go and I'm going to meet Abraham as he comes back from this battle. And this image of me, I'm coming down to live this out. I'm living the office of the priest of the Most High God. And my purpose of that fleshly image is to be a mediator, or to be a priesthood between my child Abraham and me. But God came down and did it. Everybody follow that?
Yeah.
We wonder why God sent a prophet to bring these mysteries out and these revelations. Well, this is why, because the world can't know these things. But God was establishing that, and He came down, and God came down, but He took on flesh, and He met Abraham, and at that time right there, that's where communion was started. And that's where tithing was started. And Abraham, the Scripture said, Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth. Tithe means a tenth of all things. All those things there and all the spoils that he had gotten. And so Melchizedek was acting out the office of priest. So you find out that neither God nor Melchizedek needed those tithes that Abraham gave him. They didn't need it. But the program of God said it must be. And Abraham, as a prophet, knew that. So Abraham gives a tenth of all to a man who was a priest, who was in that position because God formed it into that position. And that priest, you could say, well, it was a man, but it was really God who was appearing through that office, performing that work between Abraham and God. And so he appeared there, and there was an exchange. Melchizedek came, and he brought to Abraham bread and wine. That was the communion part. And then also, Abraham paid tithing to Melchizedek. And the scriptures talk about, well, without controversy, it's very clear for us to see that the less was blessed of the better. In other words, that though Abraham was a great man in the scriptures, a great man in the economy, and in his offspring are considered a royal seed, even though that, this Melchizedek was greater, and he blessed the lesser Abraham. And so there was an exchange there between them. And Brother Graham comes along and he says, when God gives you communion, he gives you of himself.
That's right.
So when he was physically there, he was physically as Melchizedek, the priest, and he was really living out a priesthood that Jesus was going to pick up later, because that's what it was really about. And it would surpass what the law would provide under the Levites and all that. So here he is, and in physical, he's giving him bread and wine, which is a type of what Jesus is going to do later, where he really gives of himself, of the bread of heaven and of the wine, you know, of the Holy Spirit. And so he gives to Abraham this, and Abraham, for some reason, I don't know it says anything in the scriptures anywhere, but for some reason, Abraham gave him a tenth of all. And that's where tithing was started. So you'll find out that neither God nor Melchizedek needed the tithing. And so the principle here about paying tithes and offerings, the principle here is not based upon whether the ministry needs it or not, as an individual, as a human, or as God. God don't need it. But God's got a purpose and a program that he does say needs it. And so he has it set up for that purpose. And so you'll find out that our obligation to pay our tithing is to God. Your obligation is not to pay your tithing to man, even though we understand that this was a man at that point, that was God in flesh. But for us, our obligation is to pay our tithing to God. God says, it's mine, and if you don't give it, you're robbing me.
That's right.
So we've got to let our minds come into the understanding that, you know what? Everything I have, God has given it to me, and he's asking me to take this one small portion and give it back to him, and it actually belongs to him. But if I'll give that back to him, then he'll say that I'm not robbing it, and he'll turn around and use that to redeem everything else that I have and bless that. We talked about that in the sermons that we did here a while back on remembering the firstborn. And so your obligation is to pay to God. You're not paying to the man. You're not paying to Brother Daniel or Brother Tony or something like that. You're not paying to them. You pay to God. This, in your transactions of being obedient to God, you give to him of your time, of your finances, of your prayer, of your dedication. You're giving back to God, because every believer has a desire in her heart to do that. And so our obligation is to do that. And nowhere in the scriptures does God tell us that I will give you certain conditions that will tell you that you don't have to give.
That's right.
There's no place in the scriptures where he says, you assess things, and if you see thus and thus, you don't have to give to me anymore. You don't find it.
No.
God said, you owe that to him, and it's not hinging upon anything else. It's hinging on the fact that you love God, and you're going to support him, and you're going to do it through the channel that he has said do it through, and that's transaction, and it's transaction over with.
Right.
You give to God, and that's it. What the ministry or what God does with that is not part of your responsibility. It's not part of your obligation. That's up to God on that part. Your obligation is to give and give to the Lord, because it's his to begin with. You say, well, where do we give? Well, we know that Brother Graham tells us this, and it's pretty clear scripturally that the place where you give is where you get your food from. And so all I can say is that if you have a place that you go, that you call your home church, and you get fed there, then God is showing you where your tithes and offerings needs to go.
Right.
That is your channel back to him, is to support that place where you get your food. If I go down to the store, and this is not exactly the arrangement, but just so you understand what I'm trying to say, if I go down to the restaurant, and I eat at that restaurant, and I walk out and I don't pay, I just rob them. Now, God is the one that said, if you don't pay your tithes and offerings, you're going to rob him. It's not your preacher saying that. It's not your deacon saying that. It's not your treasurer saying that. God said that. So that's the program of God, and we must find that leadership of that program and say, let me get into the channel of inspiration and what that's all about, and let me follow that and watch the blessings of God come. And so when I go down and I eat, if I don't pay, I'm wrong. And so God is the one that says, listen, bring it to my storehouse. Bring your tithes and offerings to my storehouse. So you do the math. You do the figuring. What's the storehouse? Right? God don't need it. Melchizedek didn't need it. But God required it. You see, God requires it for that to be that way. And so the place is where you get your food. And the leadership of God, this place where you get your food, that is the leadership that God has given you as far as ministry is concerned. That's the leadership that God has sent. And that's the avenue that you give back to God, is to support that local church. That's the avenue that you give back to God. And that's the avenue that God is going to turn around and further bless you. It's through that avenue. And so everybody needs to know what their home church is.
That's right.
Everybody needs to know. Listen, saints, and I'm, you know, I need to know today that my heart, or my liver, my stomach, my legs, I need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that those parts of my body are committed.
Amen.
To me as a body.
Amen.
I've got to have them. And they're in unity, and in unity, they know right where they belong.
Right.
They're not straddling. They know that God has called them to a position, and they get in it, and they stay there tirelessly and happily in it.
Amen.
You see what I mean? And that's what we as a body, we as a family in your home, but your, all of your family members have got to be committed to the safety and the standard of that home.
Right.
And the same way with the church. We have a standard to establish and a safety to establish. And we must know that we belong and that each other belong and stay there. We've got to be able to depend on one another.
Amen.
And not just sit and wonder, well, are we part of a body together or not? You see what I'm saying? You've got to know that. And so, if you have a place you call your home church and you say, praise God, I get fed there, that's the channel that God has established. You do the figuring on it. That's where He wants you to give back to Him through that church. And your obligation is to support in that storehouse. Now, that becomes the avenue that you give back to God. God don't need it for Himself. But He'll use that to redeem everything else that you make. If we have a hard time, all these things that we need to surrender to God, if we have a hard time doing that, whether it's our time, our prayers, our dedication, or our finances, if we have a hard time giving back to God, we need to do some soul searching. Especially when we see in the Scriptures that God has a program for these things. This is one channel of leadership. This is one place in our life where God says, this is how you conduct your life financially. That's leadership. That leadership of the Word has appeared to you now. Just like any of these other sermons that are laying a foundation. This foundation must be laid, and the Word and the matter and the clarity of the foundation will come. We've got to get on that. We want God to do anything for people we love and to be there for them in the stability. We've got to get on the foundation of what God has given us from His Word. And so when we see that God has given us those things, then if we turn around and walk away from it, then we clearly give God the avenue to bring correction upon us for our error. And so that's the way that works. So rejecting God's Word brings disaster. I want to read a quote from Marriage and Divorce as we get ready to close. Brother Branham says, God gave a remedy for sin. Listen close now, Brother Brim says. God gave the remedy to rid sin off the earth. But men of the earth won't accept God's remedy. It makes sense, doesn't it? God gave us a remedy and a way to marry our wives and to live with them. But men won't accept God's remedy. Won't accept His word on it. So you see, look at all the chaos that has come because man will not accept God's way of ridding the earth of sin. So look at the chaos. Man will not accept God's way on how to marry and to live with the wives. So look at the chaos. And that's just the way it is. And no matter what channel we go through, God has channels of leadership for your life. And it was very important to us in such a way that a prophet decided, I don't know that he decided, but God through him ministered the sermon of leadership as the last word to give to the people before he left the scene. And so now I want to get to the quote there that we read about you recognizing your theophany. The avenues of leadership in your life ministers to you this kingdom that you are inside. In you, in the gene, is the ability, but the route to get you there is through that intervention of the Word of God in the leadership of your life that God sends you. And so, Brother Branham says in the quote that we read, he says, when you recognize the Word of God as eagle food, you've left the other thing. He's talking about denomination when he said that. People go to church, they're affiliated with denominations and that sort of thing. But Brother Branham says, when you recognize the Word of God as eagle food, well, first of all, you've got to come to the understanding of what eagles are and that you are eagles. And so the Scriptures actually said in Matthew 24, verse 27, it says, for as the lightning come out of the east and shines to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. So the Scriptures ties it. At the coming of the Son of Man, the Scriptures point us in the direction of eagles being gathered to a carcass. Well, you know, a carcass is not a living animal running around. It's been something that's slain or whatever. And all I want to say there is that there is a slain, rejected word, a bleeding word. Christ is the word, and it was slain, and it's bleeding. And it's rejected by the world, but we accept it. We feed upon that word. That is the word, the carcass. And so the eagles gather around that carcass, and the Scriptures tell us that at the coming of the Son of Man, in this hour that we're looking for, this is what's going to be going on, that eagles gather around it. So the Scriptures point us and say, hey, the eagles, you need to recognize what eagles are. It's you. You're eagles. And so a prophet comes along and he tells us a story about the farmer getting the egg out of the eagle's nest, putting it in the barnyard. And here's a little eagle that's raised up in the midst of chaos. But inside him is something that says he's different. And so even though he's in all that chaos, there's something different in him. And what he needs is something to come over him that's different than the barnyard, to come over him and begin to interact with his life, to show him, hey, you're not a chicken. You don't belong here. You don't have to feed on this stuff the world feeds on. You don't have to listen to the denominational teaching the denominations teach you. You're an eagle and there's a different diet for you. That's what he's telling us. And then he says, and so when you recognize that the Word of God is eagle food, you leave that denominational teaching. You leave all that other stuff. And he said at that point, he said, I'm going to read it so we won't miss it. He said, then after you recognize the very word of God was eagle food. So, okay, you realize now you're an eagle and you realize, you know what? I don't feed off the word of man. I feed off of thus saith the Lord. He said, when you recognize that's eagle food and you're an eagle, he said, then you left the other thing. You said, I ain't eating that no more. He said, you then, right at that point, when you make that connection that the Word of God is your food and not something else, he said, you've then been formed into the living image of the living God. You've heard from your theophany. And so, What is the significance to hearing from your theophany? Why is that such a big deal? We say, well, is it a big deal? Well, it is. Why is it significant for us to turn from the world and hear from our theophany? And you'll find out, I won't get into it because I'm closing, but you'll find out that in that dimension, you have representation.
That's right.
And in your soul is a seed that belongs to that word body. And that word body has to come someday and form around a seed that's been maturing into that image. You understand what I'm saying? And so something has to get involved in your life to take that clay laying there with that lump with without form or void or whatever, but in it's the seed, the gene, in it is the characteristics that can become. And you have to submit that to the Word of God. And that Word, as you realize, I'm now feeding on the Word. This is my diet. He's telling us you are now in contact with the right channel of leadership that's going to form that in you. You are now in tune with that body that you're fixing to step into. You've heard from that theophany. And we understand that at some point, like when those spoken words that went out and said, let there be a squirrel out there on that limb, and the materials, the whatever, formed around that spoken word. And the spoken word is the original seed. And so we find out that God spoke, there's a seed within us, and that seed has to have something materialize around it someday called a theophany body. And eventually becomes our glorified body. And so, this is just a concept of understanding that God in this hour has given us channel of leadership. He's given us a message. He's given a prophetic voice. And that voice that we connect to, when we connect to that and leave the rest of it, we are now in line. We are in tune with that dimension that we're going to, and it begins to form within us what we shall be. It begins to make you like that perfect world that we want to go to. So you see, obedience to what God has sent prepares us for a body change. What good would it do for God to send us a truth that could do that if we didn't allow it and obey it in our lives? It wouldn't be any good. But God has sent it, and we know that that's for us. And so may God help us to surrender to His Word in every manner. I'll tell you, your ministry wants to serve you as example, as leaders. And the Scripture said, we read it, the Scripture said, and we talked about it last week. Those that God puts over you, whether it's your parents, whether it's your ministers, whoever it is, those that God puts over you in a leadership position, you surrender to that. You submit to that. If it's off the Word, then you don't have to. I'll tell you that. But when it's the Word and you see God doing it, surrender to that, because these channels of leadership are held accountable by God. They must watch over you and they must give account.
That's right.
You might give account for your household, but I have to give account, and as a minister, I have to give account for everybody that God sends me to minister to. You see what I'm saying? There's greater reward there, but there's greater responsibility too. And so, you know, we want to surrender to that, but the Scripture says that your response to that ministry, to those that are in leadership over you, your response to them should be such that they can be in leadership over you with joy and not with grief. Because they'll be leadership, and they'll sacrifice, and if you're rebellious and disobedient, they'll still be there for you, but it'll be grievous. And it ends it by saying, because if that's the case, it's not profitable for you. Now, you could say, well, I don't know if this is leadership or that, but I think we can all say that God has sent us leadership in our lives. We just need to find out who it is or what it is. And once you find that, then let the Scriptures tell you what you should do. And the Scripture says, you support that, you pray for it, you get in the channel of it, and let that whole machine work with joy. I can stand here and with joy express to you the faculties of my body because my heart's not giving me troubles. My liver's not giving me troubles. My legs aren't giving me trouble. So with joy I can stand and I can express what I am. The identity of who I am can freely come because everything's where it should be. And there's no grief. There's no animosity. But when the body gets sick and there's problems, well, now there's animosity. Now there's trouble, and the identity of that person cannot be freely given.
That's right.
There's a church body here. Jesus Christ wants to express himself. See, but there's the channel of how he can freely give, and it to be without animosity. It can be with joy and with peace. And when it's with joy and with peace, it is to your benefit. But if it's not, well, it's not profitable. That's what the scripture said. And so, that's the end of what I will say today about leadership. Let the musicians come and we will pray to the Lord. Lord Jesus, what a tremendous hour we live in, Lord. I'm sure that every person in this room, Lord, if they could see the battle that would have to be fought in this hour, we probably, each one of us, would have said, Lord, send us to a different age. But Lord, as it turns out, through your great wisdom, you have brought us in this hour, not another time. Lord, you have placed within us, we believe, the ability to be magnificently expressed sons and daughters of God in this day. Lord, but we need your corrective and the hand of the great potter upon us, Lord, to make us what we shall be. We don't have a doubt in our hearts, Lord, that you have a kingdom for us. We know it's there. And we know, God, that you're moving in this earth. We don't doubt that. But Lord, we want to find your channel. We want to know right where we belong in your kingdom so we can put our shoulders to the wheel, as it were, Lord, and to be that part of this great body that you called us to be a part of. We know it's a great fight in this hour, Lord, but as we have illustrated today, God, you have a way. You have a provided way. You have a channel. You have a way in a place where we can all serve you with joy that your kingdom can prosper and your identity would be sent forth to the people around us. We ask, God, that you'd help us today to grasp these things. And Lord, give us the grace to look beyond the veil of human flesh in each one of us and see the God that works and lives in us. To see your program that you're here, Lord, to lead and guide us because you're the great shepherd. And each one of us is your sheep. Lord, help us to see, help us to hear, to follow your voice. We commit this time into your hands, Lord. Pray that you'd help your people in all things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's remember next weekend, Saturday night service at 6, Sunday morning service at 10:30 normal time, Sunday afternoon communion service at about 2:30. You come expecting the Lord to speak to you as Brother Daniel and I were fellowshipping yesterday. You know us, we know you. Anytime that we would say something, it would come from the Lord. Satan can always tell you that it's coming from man and not from God. But when a stranger comes from out of town who doesn't know you, it kind of breaks down that. So you expect God to speak to you. You have something on your heart that you know. God's a master at it. You know, do it. I've done it before. God, you know that I haven't spoke this to anyone. You speak to my heart. I've had it. Not just from preaching. I've had them actually come to me and speak to me personally, prophetically, and say, this is what's on your heart, what you've been talking to God about. You know, I've had that happen. So God can still speak to you. And so if it needs to be a channel that way, you believe God for it, that you're the evangelist coming through. He'll come and speak to your heart and say something that even maybe your spouse doesn't even know about, a struggle maybe that you have. You believe because God is that kind of God. He is the one to answer in that kind of way. And let's all stand as we get ready to sing a dismissal song. And Brother Tim's got one, maybe? Okay. God bless you, saints, for being attentive today. Held you just a little bit longer than I wanted to, but sometimes you get into something, you can't just leave people hanging. And so I just don't want to leave you hanging.
Amen.
Lord, He is Lord. Amen. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Say this before, but for the lion, ox, and man, they all feed their babies milk, but the eagle feeds their young meat, not milk.
That's right.
The scripture says that in some places they're about, well, the church, you know, you can't handle strong doctrine, so I have to feed you with milk. You can't digest meat, so I have to give you the simple word. And so that's what the scriptures are saying. And so when we look at the four different anointings throughout the ages, being lion, ox, and man, eagle, we find out that under the eagle anointing, there's a change in the nature of the young. The young that are born in this message can't eat meat. Because in essence, that's the very message we have. The very message we have is the tying together of all the things the rest of them rejected. And for us to be born in that kingdom at all, into that word at all, we have to eat meat. So that's an eagle. And so just always remember, you say, man, some of these things are rough, they're hard, but it's meat.
Yeah.
And with meat, you can go a long ways, you know, a lot further than you can with milk. Let's remember Sister Pansy. She wasn't feeling well. I think Brother Daniel gave the prayer request. Let's remember Brother Perryman. Brother Gary, let's remember the Jenkins family. Brother Lonnie passed over, and praise the Lord for our brother. And so let's remember them as they have to deal with that loss. I'm sure that they're just overwhelmed up there, not just from the loss, but just from the inpouring of all the things that's coming from people and all the people that are coming in and that sort of thing. So let's just ask the Lord to bless them and give them an extra measure of grace as they go through this time. Remember the fight that we have. Remember Brother Brian. He's here with us today. and fighting a grievous battle with his back. Brother Daniel can enter into that. I've had some a few back troubles in the past, nothing severe, but I know that you can be stricken with something that you just almost even can't even move a finger. It hurts.
Right.
You know, I know that sounds crazy, but let's remember our brother. I know that maybe the doctors are probably, you know, they might want to do surgery or something like that, but we still serve a God who is the great physician.
Yes.
In all these things. And he still makes testimonies out of hardships in our life. And so we want to continue to believe that for Brother Brian and believe for him.
Amen.
When he's in pain and dealing with it, let's believe for him as this time goes ahead. And let's believe that maybe if God would just move on the scene and make it to where he doesn't have to have some sort of surgery or something like that. But whatever, we're going to believe that God is glorified in it all. And that our brother will come out stronger on the other side. God does not waste pain, saints. He does not waste pain. He will use it, and whether we understand it right now or not, he will make us a stronger people from everything that we suffer. So let's remember that as we go. Remember the ones that are sick in body, and especially remember Brother Perriman's request. He was weeping with me, telling me, you know, he's as a godly man, he shouldn't have to listen to music that's not godly. He shouldn't have to put up with things, as, you know. So, you know, let's pray that God will come on the scene. He said, God, I want an answer from heaven. So let's just believe for our brother. And so remember that as we go. God bless you, Sister Claire.
You know, Brother Tony, a few weeks ago I went up to prayer for Wesley. And since then, it's been about 3 weeks, he has quit smoking.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand of applause. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And Brother Brian will tell you that, and others that have dealt with that God can make you an overcomer to those things. He can absolutely just take it away from you. And so, praise the Lord, we like to hear that. Let's believe God for everything. And also, some of you know Matthew Venables. There was a death, I think his sister's husband, is that what it was killed in a car wreck the other night. So let's remember that family also. And remember our speaker that's coming up. This will probably be the first time he's ministered after his dad passed away this last week. So let's just ask the Lord to be gracious to him and to his family. God bless you. You can be dismissed in the name of the Lord.